We're good.
Okay,
Here we
hello
go.
guys.
Hey,
So, hello,
everyone.
welcome to the Geeky Ones. I'm Jude. On top of my screen is Steven.
Wait, let's
And
make you let's put you on top.
yeah,
There we
okay, I'm
go.
on top of the screen now. This is the Geeky Ones episode number 40. So yeah, 40 episodes, Steven, and it's a
Yeah.
Gundam episode. So
Crazy.
another milestone. I think we our 30th was also a live one, if I recall
I think so.
correctly.
I
And
think so.
yeah, right now we're just our episode today is a Gundam Build Divers Re-Rise review.
Review.
And
Review.
I remember 2 years ago we did the review for Gundam Build Divers, the first one.
Yeah.
And if I recall correctly, I really liked that. I don't know. I think I gave it a 7 out of 10, if I recall
Yeah.
correctly. I did. There are some parts that were fun, but I remember not being really as invested to the whole series as a whole, despite watching it. Wait, I'll be sharing some. But yeah, so that's my review for the first Build Divers. Now I guess we can talk about Gundam Build Divers Re-Rise. So this was announced early, like late 2018 or early 2019. So people wanted another Gundam series, and in the end they got another Build series, which let's just say that a lot of fans didn't like it. Build Fighters was good. It had a lot of heart and it was a really great show.
Yeah.
But after that, Build Fighters tried to like expand the formula, tried to make it a bit more action-packed, a bit better than the last one. But in the end, it kind of fell flat. Like, it was good, it had a few great battle scenes, but it doesn't have the same like quality, the same heart that the first Build Diver a Build Fighters had. And then people thought that, hey, I think they're gonna make another Build Fighters again, but no, they made Build Divers, which is now Gundam Battle MMORPG. And
Like
a
when you
lot of
described it
people,
before, it was like Ready Player One, yeah?
kind of like Ready Player One, except it's Gundam. But yeah,
Nice.
Build Fighters try. It didn't resonate with the audience well. Like, people found it, Build Divers specifically found it to be like a really standard, predictable Gundam series. It's sure it may be the first time that Gundam was set in a gaming world, but the story remains kind of similar. The story flow remains really Gundam. Like, it's not special, and
It's not special.
I remember the custom Gunpla designs for Build Divers to be lackluster. Like, the only Gundam designs I like is the Virtue, the Gundam Virtue or the Gundam Seraphim custom. And yeah, the custom the you can see the difference between the two Build Fighters and Build Divers in terms of like the custom kits they offer, the customization. Like, they felt like it feels uninspired, it sometimes feels lazy. I remember the Jegan Blastmaster to be just a yellow Cogger GM with Gundam X cannons, and that's it.
So would you say it was like there was something, in other words, bitten lang talaga yung
Yeah,
ano,
like
like they could have done so much more with all the Gundam units they had.
The first Build Divers was kind of disappointing. Like, it could have been more. Like, they could have expanded the game world. And I remember the first half of the series was kind of slogging through. It was just slow, and until it didn't go to the main point until like half of the series. And by the time, people were somewhat bored.
Oh, that's sad.
But hey, we're talking about Build Divers Re-Rise, and it's a sequel that people may not have wanted, may not have wanted to see, honestly. But in the end, I can say that Even before we go into deep analysis, it's a way better show than Beldivers is, and
wow.
Sometimes it's way better. It can be way better than Build Fighter's Try was, like, in certain areas.
Nice. And I seriously thought Build Fighter's was like the... Would you say Build Fighter's was like the first try in this whole, like, more casual Gundam series?
Yeah, it is. Okay. I think they wanted to try something different. You know, they wanted to try... they tried the Gunpla battle concept where you customize Gunpla to fight other Gunpla, other custom Gunpla, which was a hit because it resonated well with the current Gundam audience who are, it made a lot of people buy kits again. That's one thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Like,
so that's why they have a lot of ads for Gunpla broadcast?
Gundam series are basically toy commercials with a story. You know, it's like Transformers.
Power Rangers, Super Sentai, pretty much the same thing, yeah?
Yeah, they're pretty much action figure model kit commercials with a story, with a meaningful story. I know Gundam started out as a war story that focuses on, talking about the horrors of war, but in the end, it's still a mecha show where you have to sell toys. I mean, I know. I remember the original Gundam creator Yoshiyuki Tomino. He didn't like that. But in the end, there's a huge community that loves Gundam kits. That's me, and that's a lot of fans. And okay, let's go back to Gundam Beldivers Re:Rise. So Gundam Beldivers Re:Rise expands on the Gundam Battle Network (GBN), which is the game, the digital game world where players can create their own Gunpla and explore the world, play missions, just hang out with friends and stuff, a lot of Gundam stuff. You have your own custom Gundam avatar and your custom Gunpla, and it's the Gundam MMORPG that people wish to have right now in real life.
I mean, the closest thing we got was the giant arcade machine that's like a pilot unit. Yeah,
I remember there was this SD Gundam Overworld, which was an MMORPG that's SD Gundam themed, and I remember it shutting down and a lot of people being really sad that it did. Kind of like this, but in full size Gunpla, which you can just customize to your heart's content.
Wow. So because the whole idea of this whole network of Gundam, it reminds me of these arcade machines I saw in Japan one time. So we were there on a family trip one time, and we visited this arcade. It was like a, what do you call that? What's that company? Taito Arcade, but it's owned by Namco, I think, or one of the Japanese video game companies. And then they had these giant circular pods. Yeah, when you go inside, you can play Gundam with other people in Japan, basically. So it's almost like Build Divers, but not really, because you don't have like you can have a custom unit and everything, but it's not like amiibo level, like what Nintendo does. But is that like the same concept, sort of? Like you build an avatar and everything, but this time it's just like pure virtual reality.
Yeah, okay. Here's how it works. In Build Fighters, everything works through Plavsky particles. Like, those are little experimental particles that allow Gunpla to move in a certain in an arena, in a pod. Yeah. Now, in GBN, in Build Divers, I don't think it has the same concept. I think it has something similar to Plavsky, but instead of connecting to a small arena, it allows your Gunpla to be scanned and instantly scanned and connected to the game world. So for some reason, all the abilities and your stuff are there, which is kind of weird. They didn't explain it that much, but basically it reads the amount of data that you've put in your Gunpla and it just generates into the game world.
Simply. So basically like Amiibo, but more extra tech. in a way.
But with a bit more extra tech laid upon it. Okay, I think we can start by talking about the story of Buildivers now.
Yeah, we've been at it. It's almost 10 minutes.
Yeah, in a nutshell, Buildivers is basically one long-ass MMORPG mission in as a series. It's one MMORPG mission. Mm-hmm. If you notice, it's just one MMORPG mission with... it's basically a series of MMORPG missions set in one game world. It had the risk of being boring, dull, or as you know, a bit slow like the original Buildivers. But yeah. Oh wait, according to John S., you can also loot items and produce it on the real world. Yeah, you can.
Nice.
In GBN, yeah. So yeah, yeah, Buildivers is basically one long-ass MMORPG mission. And
it's like if Ragnarok came to life, basically.
Yeah? I mean, I think Sword Art Online was the MMORPG anime that has done it way better in terms of putting game world into an anime setting. So, yeah. Where was I? Okay, so it started with four characters. So the four characters here, Hiroto, Mei, Kazami, and Par, they were they're just four random players who were apparently looking for a certain secret mission located in some corner of GBN. And
that is literally the plot of Ready Player One. Find the secret mission. Yeah, okay.
There were four random players who were looking for a certain mission. And
yeah.
At the start, you know, all of them had had different convictions on why they want to do the mission. Hiroto was just there to like, you know what? I'm just gonna do this mission. You know, he's basically a solo player that's, you know, basically just running around and
so basically doing random every missions. Single Gundam protagonist. I want to do it
well,
alone.
Not really. You know, he's just He's one of those quiet and moody types from at the start, and
that's,
you know,
literally Hiro Yui.
Hiro Yui, Mikatsuki August, yeah, and yeah, those kinds. But yeah, and then there's Kazami, who's a very reckless player. He likes to go charge into battle and get his ass kicked. Basically, you know, he's the guy that you don't want to be teammates with in an FPS or battle royale game. The guy who charges in, who barges into the fight and gets killed instantly. That's basically him. And then there's Par, who's a Gunpla builder, who's kind of unsure of himself. And then, you know, kind of unsure of himself because there's a story that, you know, he doesn't really want to talk about, you know, his past that we would discuss later, a bit later, maybe a few more minutes. And then there's Mei, who's an L-diver. Remember Sarah from Buildivers, Steven?
The one with the Hara unit?
Yep, was it the Hara just unit? In time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the digital girl.
Yeah.
The girl made of all the data from GBN. Well, she's kind of like that.
Kind of like Korra from Tron 2, yeah?
Yeah, her goal is to find out what's happening in this mission. Okay, now this mission is different from other GBN missions because all GBN missions are like set. Like they're all designed by GBN. Yeah. They're all designed and they are all programmed to, you know, have a mission accomplished, mission start, battle conditions, and this one in particular has those conditions, but you know, not everything is what it seems because they're in a world called Eldora, and this game
is this
world
a new world that was not in the first series.
Yeah, this was a world that actually was not in the first series and should not have been in GBN in the first place because it's a world that's somewhat alive with AI characters. I think there's AI characters in GBN, but for the most part, none of them are as like sophisticated or as dynamic as the rest of the, you know, the GBN as a whole. So like there's a whole living world inside this video game world. So yeah, like along that, you know, they started their mission as usual, as how you would start a mission as a group. And, you know, from the start, they were very uncoordinated. But, you know, they saw that, you know, to finish this mission, they have to work together. He wrote, you know, despite their issues, their motives, they really have to just combine, test their abilities, and find out what in the world is happening in Eldoran.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, yeah, the first mission start off, you know, helping villagers eradicate this force called One Eyes, which is kind of funny because, you know, it's a reference to all the Mono Eye units in Gundam, mm-hmm. because every Mono Eye units are usually with the enemy factions, like the Zaku, the Leo.
Gets.
Yeah, those single-eyed units are always, you know, always on the side of the villains. But, yeah, they were wondering, like, is this just the threat, you know, just eradicating this this rogue robot threat, killing villagers and, you know, attacking the world as a whole. And then they later find out that this game world is, you know, not, yeah, as what they thought it should be. It's not, it shouldn't be there. It's made out of data, and the faction, the One Eyes, are being led by a certain malevolent program in the system called Alus, who was designed to protect the game world.
And, so, you know, it's literally the plot of Tron Legacy.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, because like Kevin Tron, Flynn goes into the world, he realizes there's this... Yeah, like Tron in Gundam form. Like, oh, except there is, we don't know who the creator is, but the creator goes inside the system. Turns out the system is making its own world by itself without any instruction. And now it's up to the heroes to save the day. Tama?
Yeah, basically, you're in a crazy world with rogue data. But yeah.
Sounds
so, yeah, okay. That was basically the first half of Build Divers. And it was kind of like, I was worried that it would end up like the first Build Divers, where it would just slog through, like the story would be too slow, you know, it would just be a bit boring and
filler,
you know,
episodes.
Too much filler that would make the series just boring. Like it wouldn't make the series exciting. It wouldn't be an improvement on the first Build Divers. It would be just another Build Divers that people would just hate on. But
yeah,
and behold, like the end of the first season just kicked everyone in the face, like everyone, like for the game, like imagine they were trying to fight Alus the first time and they thought that they could get the victory, and you know, but in the end they didn't, and the way they lost was so devastating because Alus killed off part of the game world, which is something that even the Build Fighter series didn't do. Like, they didn't kill off anyone. The Build series never killed off anyone. But this one, they killed off some characters virtually. Sure, it's virtual, but the impact was like, wait a minute. Did they just do that? Like, did they just really kill off characters, in-game characters, for real? Like, they deleted them? Because I don't think any build series had that moment. Like,
I mean, there's only been what? Besides Build Divers Re:Rise, there have only been three other build series, right?
Yeah.
And the Lone Build Fighters, Build Divers, and then Build Re:Rise.
Yeah, none of them had dead characters. None of them had erased characters. And despite being virtual characters, the fact that they treated them as killed off like in a regular Gundam show was just like shocking, you know. It was
kind of like how some of the characters died sa Iron Blooded Orphans, mga ganun.
Yeah, yung mga may memorial and everything. Orphans was heavier in a way because they're real dead, like Zeta Gundam dead. But yeah, in a way, it was a surprising moment, and it was a moment that maybe the series needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gave the series more emotional weight come second half of the second season, and then the second season.
And what happened the second half?
The second season I can say was like a way better improvement. Like there's a reason why I like this over the first Beldivers, because the second season was just what the Build series needed. Like, it gave the show a lot of heart. It gave the show a lot of emotional depth. It explained everyone's motivations. I mean, the first season just explained everyone's story, like backstory, like Hiroto. Oh wait, except for Hiroto. an Eldiver who was investigating what's happening in the game world. Pretty straightforward. But Kazami's story of, you know, being a reckless player who wasn't trusted by his teammates was there, you know, trying to improve, trying to be a better teammate, you know, trying to contribute beyond being an offensive type character, you know, being an attacking character. And then we discover that Parr is unsure of himself because he experienced the trauma of being paralyzed from the waist down, which was
in real life he's a paralytic.
Yeah, he's an heir to he's a rich Middle Eastern character, basically. He's the brother of Shari, the character from the first Beldivers. Yeah. And
what is with this series obsession? What's with Gundam series obsession with having white Middle Eastern people?
Well, he's not really white. You know, he's actually kinda the brown. First. He's actually the first. They're pretty much the only like Middle Eastern characters there. Which is kind of rare in Gundam, to be honest. Like,
Quatre was white, like a blonde white kid, right? And yet he's supposed to be Middle Eastern.
Yeah, he had some. Yeah. He had some Middle Eastern friends too there, but anyway, so other than that, the only Gundam series with Middle Eastern characters that I really remember was Gundam 00, which has Setsuna, which is not his real name. There's Ali Al-Sachez and Marina Ismail, which is really really kind of different for that era. And it's kind of nice to see more characters of different nationalities in Gundam series, because they don't really do that, or it's not really obvious. You don't really notice, like, because they're all, sometimes the designs of the characters are pretty much similar to each other. So yeah, okay. Going back, the second half was really good, because it fleshed out every character's story, and you know, you see a lot of development. You see them improve. You see them upgrade their Gundams. Parr's SD Team Gundam added Trans Am from 00. You know, improved and enhanced his transformability, and Kazami became from an offensive oriented Gunpla build to a more defensive Gunpla build, because you know he discovered that he can contribute more as a defensive character who supports his team, and Hiroto develops more Gundam armor so he can tackle in more different combat scenarios, and he also developed as a team player.
Nice.
Yeah, but yeah, the second half of the series was just really good, because it had heart. It just showed, like, you know, Beldivers can actually be a series that you care about. Like, it just did its best in the second season. Like, it exceeded expectations. I think one of the moments there was the flashback of Hiroto on why he became bitter in GBN. Kind of like
happened?
You know, his backstory where he lost his Eldiver companion, Eve, which is Sarah's sister from Beldivers.
But doesn't she reappear at some point?
No. If the first Beldivers was able to, they were able to save Sarah from being deleted. Eve wasn't so lucky. She had to delete herself from the world because she might break the whole system.
And, so who's the character that is with him at the end of the series?
He's one of the. She's one of the main cast.
But then, like, how come she calls Sarah her sister?
Ah, yeah, because they're from the same mold. All Eldivers are kind of like siblings to each other. Because they're all made from data from GBN data. Okay. So like,
gets. So they're like not necessarily related, but they just call each other sister.
Yeah. But you know, because they were made from the same stream of data, they're kind of like that. And yeah, okay. After Hiroto's story, it comes to a point that, you know, they have to defeat the threat. They have to defeat Agus once and for all and not fail like what they did.
Yeah.
But the first thing what they have to do is to rescue a fallen player, which is Masaki Shido, who is in real life he was comatose.
Wow. And wait, so who's playing his character then?
The reason he was comatose is because his consciousness was stuck in the world of Eldora.
What the fuck?
And basically his avatar was corrupted by Agus, which is why he's part of the One Eyes faction. You know, he's basically an evil character, and I think that's where a lot of people's opinion on Bill Divers VR is turned around, because the episode in which they had to rescue him was perhaps one of the best build episodes of all time in all four. And I can tell you, if I had the top 10 for build episodes, most of them would be in the first build fighters. But this episode, episode 22, has to be in the top 5 of all the build episodes, because how they rescued Masaki Shido from being corrupted further or from dying in real life was amazing. Like, it was one of the most intense Gundam battles in quite a while. Sure, it's just Gundam fighting each other in an MMORPG setting, but it was really good. Like, it was really an intense episode that had a lot of... it was a high-stakes episode, because if they failed, a character would die in real life. And
shit.
In a way, he died for like a few seconds because his pulse was gone.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was the emotional episode that the series needed to be, you know, to go beyond previous build series, the previous two build series, like, you know, give the characters more conviction. And after that, it was just all good. Like, you know, I really enjoyed the series. Like, oh man, this is just more than the first Build Divers. Like, this was something much more special.
Yeah.
Sure, it wasn't as good as it won't be as good as the other regular shows, but regular Gundam shows, but at least it did something good. And then we get episode 24, where they reintroduce the cast of the previous Build Divers. And that was something that Build Fighters tried to do, but they never got the entire original cast back. They never got Sei and Reiji from the first Build Fighters to show up in Build Fighters Try, which disappointed so many fans.
Was there like a scheduling issue with the character, with the cast, with the VAs, with the CUs, or something?
I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just, you know, they were teasing it and then never showing them. Never really intending to show them.
Okay.
Which is kind of sad, because I really wanted that. Because, you know, the first Build Fighters, they had a really great cast of characters. And seeing them again, reunited, would have been a great moment for that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. But Re:Rise helped redeem that. And they reintroduced the Build Divers cast, which, you know... They may not have been a really memorable set of characters, in my opinion, for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, their reintroduction was really well done. Like, they weren't there to overshadow the current cast. They were there to help the cast, the current cast, which was great. And they helped them by going to the VN Crab, which was a mission in the first Build Divers, which was one of the hardest missions in GBN. Where in that episode they had to finish like 50, they took 50 attempts before they got it all right.
Wow, that's full on. What's the term? Yung grinding, full on grinding.
Yeah, it was full on grinding. Basically, the last three episodes were just setting up for the battle, the final battle, and it was all fun. Like episode 25, where we thought the series was ending, was a really well done episode. You know, they just defeated Agus, but in the end, you know, he actually had plans to go into actual GBN, but in the but surprise, you know, the entire GBN was ready for it, ready to fight them. Imagine everyone was. But the thing was, while that was all happening, everyone was watching the live stream of the fight. Like, you know, I remember GBN, the first build divers, you know, much of GBN only cared when they tried to rescue Sarah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in build divers Rise, people were kind of following, you know, the whole story of the current build divers by watching Kazami's streams, because, you know, he's a streamer. He's kind of like a gun to the content creator. And in the end, you know, it was like, it was, I think I like this more because it was a more fleshed out story where, you know, GBN actually cared about the whole cast instead of only caring about them in the end. You know, it gave them like you know, like, hey, this guy, hey, we should support these guys. Come on, you guys can do it. You know, kind of like this usual anime motivation, you know, together we achieve things kind of trope. But, you know, it's really great to see it in Build Divers Rise. And imagine the last episode was just really fun too. Like, it introduced so many characters. Like, this was like G Gundam, where all Gundams were all over the world. Fight the Devil Gundam.
Gets.
And in the end, you see a lot of Gundam cameos. Like in G Gundam, you saw the Gundam Wing before Gundam Wing even aired. It was there.
What? For
yeah,
real?
It was there. Yeah, it was kind of like an Easter egg there.
Like a little nod, like how Pixar places an item from the next movie in their previous movie, kind of like how Nemo in Monsters Inc. in Boo's room, parang ganun. Yep.
Yeah, kind of like that. Except it's kind of like a call, instead of a call back to a previous show, it's a call forward to the next one, which is crazy that. But yeah, the last episode had so much references. Like, I still have to read through all of the photos that people analyzed. Like, there's even a Zoids reference in the episode of Build Divers. They were referenced as bootleg Gunpla, but, you know, they can't say Zoids. But yeah, there were so many fun moments there, and we found out like, you know, Captain Zeon was Rommel all along. May is like an embodiment of Eve, of the previous Eldiver. Yeah. And you know, it was just all good. Like, this was a feel good Gundam show, you know. Despite many people having a lot of reservations, me included, maybe not liking that there's another Build Divers, you know, they really did their best, you know. Sunrise really did their best to create a show that, you know, you care about. Like, there are a lot of Gundam, you know, a lot of recent Gundam shows have divided opinions, but I think this one has, definitely, because not many people like the Build series for being too kid-oriented, more for the younger audience.
Yeah, but I mean, like, aren't they the ones you want to attract? Because you want to keep this cycle running, right?
Difficult to capture the hearts of a younger audience, and the Build series was able to do that. The first Build Fighters did that so well. Mm. Imagine, like, more people, that Build Fighters was a way that a lot of more people got into Gundam again.
Mm.
I know Gundam 00 was able to do that. Seed was able to do that. And you know, each generation has that. Every number of years, there's a series. Iron-Blooded Orphans was able to do that. Recapture the mainstream anime audience for a moment.
I remember, unbelievably realistic, right?
Like, I remember super realistic. I mean, even though that a lot of people didn't like it, like a lot of course, some of the older Gundam fans did like Iron-Blooded Orphans for not having the same political weight that a lot of the previous Gundam shows had. It was still a series that it's hard, you know, they would still have to admit it's a Gundam that was mainstream, that got people watching in the mainstream, you know, mainstream audiences nice. Watching.
How did it do well in Japan in terms of like gaining attention, new Iron-Blooded Orphans?
I think it did better, but you know, with so many anime coming in, mecha is really just a niche genre right now. Sure, and you know, it's hard to admit that it's not as big as the other genres right now. But yeah, you know,
like My Hero.
The fact that you know, Gundam is still rolling on and Hathaway's Flash is delayed, which means, you know, there's still excitement there, you know.
Yeah.
They're just about to release another the second half of the Universal Century again, which is something again. Which is something that was explored, but fans didn't like before because Yoshiyuki Tomino was just so tired because, you know, his ideas weren't being fully realized. Like, remember F91 and Victory. And, you know, now we got Re-Rise. Re-Rise finished, and, you know, there's just so many Gundam shows soon. So, yeah, I think we can go end this with my verdict and what's next for Gundam. Okay.
Yeah.
My verdict, I think this is like, if we gave Build Divers a 7 out of 10,
seven.
I think I would give this a solid 8 to 8.5. It's kind of hard to gauge if we're doing a out of 10 scale. So yeah, this is way better than Build Divers. And somewhat, if the second half were the whole show, this would have been better than Build Fighters Try in some aspects.
Okay.
But yeah,
because of the emotional weight, yeah.
Yeah, it's a series that kinda exceeded expectations, you know. Really did well, really did its best to exceed what it was supposed to be. And gave us something really special, you know, especially in a time of pandemic where where series are being canceled, delayed. The fact that Build Divers Re-Rise was able to come back in just a short while after a short break was really good.
How many out of 10 would you say?
Yeah, I think
eight. How many mobile suits out of 10?
8 to 8.5. I think 8.
Okay.
A solid 8. Really, okay. A solid 8. And yeah, for next, as I said, Hathaway's Flash is delayed. That's why we have to stick to watching Re-Rise. But yeah, I think Hathaway's Flash wouldn't be released this year. I think, or maybe just really late this year. You know, with the pandemic still ongoing.
I mean, the other option would be to go Netflix, right? Or just release it on YouTube.
Go online, streaming. Region lock streaming, which is
sad. Hey, but, wait. Don't forget. We are in the region where they actually unlock it.
Yeah, but
I remember going to Japan before.
Oh, Steven, they recently released Charge Counter Attack, War in the Pocket, I think. Or Charge Counter Attack, 8MS Team, and the Zeta movies on YouTube. And then the region lock here for us. It's sad.
Why? No, I was able to watch. No, really?
Yeah. Yep. I checked it like twice or thrice.
Because I think Hathaway's Flash is on Netflix. Maybe that's why.
No. Hathaway's Flash is not yet there. No, it's still unreleased. It's a movie trilogy.
Okay.
They're about to show. Unicorn is there on Netflix. Iron-Blooded Orphans is on Netflix. They're the only two Gundam shows on Netflix. But Gundam Info still has a few series there. They removed Gundam 00 for now, though, which is sad. I haven't been. I was supposed to finish it, but I can't now, right now. But yeah, what's next for Gundam? I think we'll have to wait for Hathaway's Flash, which is delayed. It was supposed to release last month.
Yeah.
And I think it was supposed to have a theatrical release even here. It was supposed to be distributed here. I was really sad. But, you know, we have to wait for the new beginning of the Universal Century a few more months. And I'm really excited for that because the second half of the Universal Century was way underrepresented. You know, F91 Victory tried their best to capture an audience.
Yeah.
Well, as it's supposed to be. And Hathaway's Flash is a great fresh start for that. For the UC100 and above years.
Mm-hmm.
UC100, Steven, I'm so excited for that. Like, because that's a time where mobile suit technology is just nuts.
All right.
Mobile suits in Hathaway's Flash, Steven, they're like double the size of older Gundams. The Gundams there are way bigger. And then the next 2 decades, Gundams are now tiny. Like, they found out that smaller designs are more efficient. With F91, Crossbone, and Victory being great examples of that. Now, but yeah, I think that's it for our Gundam Build Divers Rewrite review. And
all right,
thank you so much for those who are watching. We are getting constant views. And
thank you so much, guys.
Gundam community, of course, has always been pulling through. Thank you so much.
Yeah. What's next for us?
For the geeky ones, what's next for us? You can let's break down where you can find us. You can find us on Facebook, of course. You're watching us here. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram. For our Twitter, we do a lot of live reactions for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and a lot of we also post our updates there every now and then too. For Instagram, we also post our episode updates and a lot of random geeky stuff there. Even stories, since we can't go out, there's not much to make sadly. Stories about, sadly.
But we do something for later, yeah.
Yes, we do have. We'll announce it in a few moments.
Yes.
You can find us on thegeekyones.com, where we have blogs, and you can also check out our episodes there. There are some links to our episodes there. And you can also check out our 5 essential
Gundam games,
which is currently on the first page of Google after 2 years. Woo! It's crazy. For some reason, whenever I write articles, they take so much time to reach a lot of views. But you know, I'm happy that they're growing, and I'm happy that our website is growing. Thank you guys for those who are reading. So yeah, right now, after this episode, we'll be doing a New Japan Pro Wrestling watch party on our Twitch channel. So, that's another way to find us. So, we'll be moving on from one streaming platform to another. So, New Japan Pro Wrestling is happening in a few minutes.
Just a few minutes. I'm going to log in. Wait.
So we have to wrap this up. Okay, for our podcast, now, after watching this, you can replay this on Facebook, but you can also listen to the audio version on Spotify, Anchor, Player FM, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and wherever you can find our podcast. Now, there's also Player FM. And that's it for us. And thank you for watching our Build Divers Rise review.
Bye, guys.
And next week, we'll see you in another edition of the Bi-Weekly Geeky Recap. So I'm Jude, and this is Steven. And so long. We'll be seeing you on Twitch in a few moments. Bye.
Bye.